Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhva Lila, chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, text number 175. Bhukti, material enjoyment. Mukti, to become liberated from material bondage.
Become liberated from material bondage.
Adi, and so on.
Vancha,
desires.
Yadi,
if.
Mane,
in the mind.
Hoyap,
are.
Sadhana korile,
Even executing devotional service. According to the regulative routine.
Prema.
Real love of Krishna.
Utpanna.
Awaken.
Na.
Hoya.
Is.
Translation. If one is infected with the desire for material enjoyment or material liberation, he cannot rise to the platform of pure loving service unto the Lord, even though he may superficially render devotional service according to the routine regulative principles. Responsively, please repeat. If one is infected with the desire,
for material enjoyment or material liberation,
he cannot rise to the platform of pure loving service unto the Lord.
Even though he may superficially render devotional service according to the routine regulative principles.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that if one maintains within his heart the desire to enjoy the result of good work, or being embarrassed by the material world, the desire to get out of material entanglement, one will never be able to attain the transcendental mellows of devotional service. In other words, one must not desire material profit when rendering devotional service. Even if one follows all the 64 regulative principles, he cannot attain pure devotional service with contaminated heart. Bhukti mukti adivancha yadi manne hoya sadhana korile prema utpanna hoya. If one is infected with the desire for material enjoyment or material liberation, he cannot rise to the platform of pure loving service unto the Lord, even though he may superficially render devotional service according to the routine regulative principles. So, I carry around a sticker on my suitcase, which I liked very much. I think I got it from Trevor Bronson. It said, "Life is tough, and then you die." It's like that. Devotional service is tough, and then we die. And according to this, if you have not attained complete purity, then you can't achieve the perfection of devotional service. So, actually, what is being described here is the highest standard. Prema Kumartho Maha, the perfection of our existence is to attain Krishna Prema. And unless we become Anartha Nivritti, completely free from kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, unless we get free from the desire for mukti, the desire for bhukti, the desire for siddhi, then we will never attain lasting perfection. But, on the other hand, we know yena tena prakarena mana krishna niveshaya. In preaching work, someone may say that I can't follow your regulative principle. Not only someone may say, most people say nowadays. It's very hard to find someone who has attraction for the regulative principles, even though they may like Krishna Prasadam, they may like our artwork, they may like the bhajans, music. But that's as far as it will go. They cannot conceive of following a regimented life without intoxication, without illicit sex, without a lusty tongue and eating whatever at any time. Can't conceive of that. So therefore, we are advised to encourage them to simply chant Hare Krishna. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo dadadi. Tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Even if they have all material desires, or even if they have no material desires, that is wanted, but very few people attain that stage. So even if they have all material desires, or even if they want liberation, still they should take to the process of chanting, and gradually all of these dirty things within the heart will be cleansed. Cheto darpanam marjanam. The dust, the dirt. If we keep ourselves within the fire of devotional service, eventually, and that's where patience comes in. Utsa or enthusiasm is necessary, but not enthusiasm for a few weeks, a few months, a few years. But we must somehow remain enthusiastic in the process of devotional service for an entire lifetime. But we must have the determination, nischa, to overcome all of the obstacles in our path and to go beyond, transcend all of the tests that Krishna may give us. Testing, what is Krishna testing? What is the intensity of our desire to have his association? You cannot love God and mammon at the same time. Krishna says, mam ekam sharanam brata. He's very not jealous, but he demands full surrender, ultimately. Of course, initially, he's very kind. He doesn't force us. He gives us our independent free will, and he encourages us in various ways. He sends his pure devotee from time to time. Even within the disciplic succession. The disciplic succession goes on, but within the disciplic succession, there are great personalities who sometimes surface and submerge. They appear, and later on, maybe again, they will appear. So he sends such devotees, and we glorify them. Just like in the case of Srila Prabhupada, we chant his names, we get together and remember his achievements. He wrote so many books. He traveled widely around the world, even at the late stage in his life, at risk to his health. He accepted so much, so many unqualified disciples, just on their promise that they would become qualified. And so many were unfortunately not able to live up to their promises. So we glorify the dreamer. But there's a danger there. There's a danger. If we just glorify the dreamer and forget his dream, neglect his dream, the visionary, and neglect his vision, what is that? It's not the International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness. What I ask myself over and over again since he left, I've been forced to ask myself, what is it that Prabhupada gave to me? Why is it that he is my pranana? Because he gave me a way of life which is helping me to grow, helping me to face my weaknesses, helping me to become strong. And it is that way of life, by following that way of life, that I can glorify him. Not bringing flowers and fruits only, offering some sweets and offering some name, but in that vow that I made to him, that I will follow these principles, and I will engage in devotional service, and I will preach the glories of Sri Krishna. That is my actual liberation. So these things are all very important, and we encourage people to chant. Gradually they will come to that stage. They must follow the process. You cannot attain a university degree without going through grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, standard this, standard that, O-level that, whatever it is system you have. There's a gradual progression. But you can't avoid the lower stages. You can't go straight to raga unless you have perfected sadhana, vaidhi. Vaidhi bhakti means rules and regulations. Tasmat tvam indriyani adau niyamya bharatashya. Rules and regulations, niyam. So we have to have enthusiasm, determination to overcome the obstacles, whatever they may be, cultural, social, genetic, whatever the obstacles, in whatever way they present themselves. But we have to be determined. Pure devotional service is a pratyata. It is without interruption. Whatever progress we are making cannot shirk from the path and expect that we will attain perfection or that we are owed something. I followed for a few years, I did this, I did that, I didn't attain perfection, and therefore I feel cheated. No, you carry on. Adarshanam marmahatam kurotuva. Even if you don't get immediate perfection, but so many persons in the past, so many great liberated souls have testified to the fact that if you follow the process, you will get perfection in time. And how much time are we talking about? Not very much time in comparison with the amount of time that we have been here in this material world, millions of lifetimes, in just a few short years, 50, 60 years, or whatever it takes. We have to devote ourselves to Krishna. And it is not going to get easier. because this is Kali Yuga, and we are Manda Bhagya. We are unfortunate. We are foolish. We're surrounded by idiots. We're surrounded by Alpha Medusa, less intelligent, foolish, Dvipada Pashu. It's not going to get easier. It must be now. If we are intelligent, we will take advantage of the opportunity now. And then we must be patient, Dharya. We must execute devotional service with enthusiasm. We must overcome whatever obstacles are there. And then we must await the Lord's mercy. We must cry for His mercy. We must pray for His mercy. And we must wait for His mercy, knowing that He will bless us. He will bestow His mercy upon us. He will lift us up. He will embrace us. Krishna is so kind. We don't deserve His compassion. We have rejected Him and come here of our own volition to the material world. And we have performed so many abominable activities, even up to the extent, leave aside the animal activities, even in human life, even in civilized human life, we make a show of being His devotees simply to cheat others. This goes on. Kali Chela, Tilak Nake, Tilak Nake, puts on Tilak on the nose. Gantai Mala, this is on the neck, Gantai Mala. He does everything. He looks just like a devotee. But the whole time he's thinking how to enjoy another man's wife, chanting Hare Krishna, making a show. This is abominable. And it is very clear in the Shastra, if one takes the trouble to read scripture, especially scripture is there, Srila Prabhupada's purports make it even easier. There is a man. Now he lives in Karnataka, northern Karnataka, on the border of Karnataka and Maharashtra. So he is one of the greatest scholars in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. He has a big following. So he was in Madras speaking, and there were many people in the assembly listening. And then all of a sudden, without any prompting, he began to chide the people that you don't know what we're talking about. None of you. We're scholars. We're speaking high philosophy in a language, English or language or Tamil language, whatever. But subject matter, just like scientific language. They speak in English, but you hardly know what they're saying. So, we are talking in a language that you can't understand. And then he said, but Bhaktivedanta Swami, he has taken this philosophy and he has made it very easily understandable, even to a common man. And he went on for the next 20 minutes glorifying Srila Prabhupada and his achievement. He could understand the wonderful thing that Srila Prabhupada had done. So he has made it very easy for us to understand. Jivasya tattva jigyasa. Human life is meant for self-realization. There's no other purpose. If you want anything else, it is available in any other species of life. much more abundantly. You have better facility in other species of life. But you do not get that opportunity for self-realization unless you are in the human form of life, and that also in civilized human form of life, manushyanam sasrishi. Out of many millions of men, one gets an opportunity. And if you're in the middle of the ocean and somehow or other you're lost, little boat got carried out into the middle of the ocean in bad weather and then it capsized and you're there swimming, you're practically, your minutes are numbered. You definitely will die. But then all of a sudden, for no reason, somebody comes in that part of the huge ocean and offers you a lifeline. It's not your business. Why did you come here? How is it? What are the chances that this could happen? Wait a minute, let me figure this out. The line is there. You take it. That's all. It's all you really need to do. The opportunity. Why were we given this opportunity? It's a mystery, but who cares? It's not a mystery that needs to be solved right away. What needs to be solved right away is how we can get free from the cycle of birth and death, how we can solve our suffering, our misery, how can we become transcendental, how can we reach a position where nothing will affect us in the ways that we are being affected and that the other 6.5 billion people are being affected now. The world is becoming worse and worse. It is crazy and crazy and crazy. This, sometimes the movies have interesting titles. So on the plane there was something about, I remember there was a movie called Dumb and Dumber. Now they have Dumb and Dumber and Dumber. And that's the way, it's not even good English. But it's like that. People are becoming dumber and dumber. They can't understand. But we've got an opportunity. And we must somehow or other give up our material attachments. Otherwise we're going to lose everything anyway. It will be taken from us. It is being taken from us. Our relatives have died. Our friends have died, and even our own devotees have died. And we will be gone soon. Sooner than you can imagine. Time flies means that your duration of life is very short, and therefore it will be eaten up very quickly. And that's how time is flying. Time doesn't get on an airplane and fly. Time is moving in your life very quickly. Before you know it, you will be old, and before you know it, you will be dead. So how can I give up my desire for prayas, sense gratification? I have this habit. It's ingrained in my psyche. It's been there for so long. Whatever I look to, where's the immediate sense gratification for me? Everything I turn my mind to, where is my pleasure? People take to devotional service because they want some material pleasure. Well, otherwise, they want, you know, the Maha Mangalarti sweets or whatever it is. They want nice Krishna prasadam, nice place to live, no job, no 9-to-5, comfortable life. But that's not the purpose, to get settled in and hotel is gone. That's not the purpose. We're here to scrape away the rust. You know what it's like scraping away rust? You get some steel wool or some iron, scraping away, you get some heavy chemical. We're here to scrape away the rust of our material attachments. There may be some friction there. There may be some pain. In the beginning, it may be like poison. Yatad agre disham eva pariname mritopamam. We know, we have tasted a little bit, and we know that in time it will be like nectar. But we cannot maintain our old consciousness. Dharmasya hi apavargyasya nartho rutayopakalpati nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaya. Whatever we do in devotional service, 100% of the fruit must be used for the satisfaction of Krishna. Svanustitasya dharmasya saṃsiddhir hari toshanam. Not Sridhar Swami toshanam. We're here to work for Krishna as his menial servants. Somehow we have to adopt this mentality. I was recently listening to a lecture where someone asked Prabhupada about preaching to government people. Actually, it was Tejas. He was on the Hyderabad farm. Tejas was, before he was in Hyderabad, he was in Delhi. He'd go to see all the government ministers. So he was asking Prabhupada how to preach. And Prabhupada quoted this verse from Prabodhananda Saraswati that one has to go in a very humble mood with straw in the teeth. One has to be so humble. So humble that when you go to a big man and you go very humbly, and you, Prabhupada's first response was you flatter him. Of course, everybody laughed. Then he explained Prabodhananda Saraswati's formula. That in a very humble mood, you go and you start glorifying. He said, no man in the world will refuse. If you're very humble and you start glorifying him, that he's wonderful, and he'll say, all right, you sit down. Then you start glorifying him, and you will think, yes, I'm like that. And then when you've got his confidence, then you tell him, please, sir, just give up all your nonsense and surrender to Lord Krishna. But we have to become very, very humble like that. And somehow or other get free from our material attachments. It will happen in time, but we have to be here in time so that it can happen. If we simply superficially glorify the dreamer and forget his dream. If one is infected with the desire for material enjoyment or material liberation, he cannot rise to the platform of pure loving service unto the Lord. Even though he may superficially render devotional service according to the routine regulative principles. Anyway, even if you are just superficially following, it is better than not following. But you will have to be patient. until you become serious and sincere, you can't expect to make quantum any type of progress, real progress in devotional service. Prabhupada goes on further to say, even if one follows all the 64 regulative principles, so unless you attain pure devotional service, unless you get the results, everything is useless, simply a useless waste of time. Sramayeva Nikevala. So one devotee, of course, who we can follow, is one of the 12 Mahajans, Lord Shiva. And Mahashivratri is a very big festival all over the world. Indians gather especially. I don't think any non-Indians gather for Mahashivratri because hardly any of them know what it is, but maybe they gather to smoke some ganja or something. But there are many people, especially in South, but all over, who worship Lord Shiva. Ultimately, Shankaracharya instructed us in Panchopasana, or he gave a formula that you worship five kinds of deities. And worship of Lord Shiva is also included. Durga, Ganesh, Vishnu was one of them. But ultimately it is all the same because you merge and become one with Brahman. Actually, Shankaracharya, it's interesting, he is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. So to propose this is quite interesting. And Shankaracharya, of course, was a concealed Vaishnava, Kalo Brahmana Murti. Take birth as a Brahmana. Lord Shiva tells Parvati and Kali Yuga, take birth in a Brahmin family and I will preach something similar to the philosophy of Buddhism. Instead of zero, it's all zero. We add one. It's all one. And of course Vaishnavas say, no, it's two. But there are many Shaivites in India, and this is a very special day for them. But they really do not understand the position of Lord Shiva, and this can only be understood when one has an understanding of the big picture. If one, and we find this all over the world, people become Christians, they become Muslims, they become Jews, they adopt whatever religion their father and their father's father adopted, or they were born into. And they follow that without trying to understand the total picture, without trying to understand that there are many religions in the world all saying that they are right. So how is this possible? Is only my church correct and everybody else is a demon? Or is there some similarity in the different scriptures? Are they actually saying the same thing at a different time in a different place? Where are the similarities? Where is the convergence? So, many people think that Hinduism means pantheism, worship of many gods. Japamatatapa. There are as many gods as you like, all shapes and sizes. You can worship an elephant god, you can worship a monkey god, you can. There's a nice story in the Ramayana about the appearance of Hanuman. It's so funny, I love it. Lord Shiva and Parvati, they were enjoying in Kailash, and they were playing. So Lord Shiva became a little lusty, and his semen came. So Parvati, she declined because they had taken the form to play. There were so many monkeys around, so they also decided to have fun, and they took the form of monkeys. So Parvati got very worried that I cannot take this semen, otherwise I will have a monkey for a child, and I already have an elephant for a child. I don't want a monkey too. So Krishna comes, and his devotees come in many different shapes and sizes. But Lord Shiva is a very special personality. Sada Shiva is Vishnu. Before Krishna comes, before he impregnates the material world, his glance, that Sada Shiva, when he comes in contact with the material world, then it is Shiram Yatha Dadi Vikara Vishesha Yoga Sangayate. He becomes just like milk touched by Imli or tamarind, just like yogurt and milk. But ultimately Lord Shiva, even in the material world, he's connected with Vishnu because he's the greatest devotee of Vishnu. This was experienced by Narad Muni also when he tried to understand his father Lord Brahma, and he could see that Lord Brahma was in meditation. So he concluded that Lord Brahma could not be the supreme, even though he's my father, but he could not be the supreme. Who is he meditating upon? And similarly, Lord Shiva, he is also in deep in meditation. On whom? Meditation on whom? And of course the answer is Lord Vishnu. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadapasanti Surayo Deviva Chakshurapatam. The goal of all meditation is to achieve the mercy, the blessings, the shelter of Lord Vishnu, or Jehovah, or Allah, the Supreme Deity, the Supreme Being. So Lord Shiva, we respect him, and Lord Chaitanya did travel throughout South India, and he visited different temples of Lord Shiva. He actually went to the temple of Lord Shiva. But he worshipped Lord Shiva as a great Vaishnava. And there's nothing wrong in that. Although, in general, we do not have daily Shiva puja in our ISKCON temples because we're trying to give people a very simple program of one deity, one scripture, one mantra, everything very simple. But in India and all the major temples, and probably someday in our temples, we will have, outside the main temple, we'll have a small temple of Lord Shiva, who is not only a great Vaishnava, but he can remove all the obstacles of pure devotional service. All those obstacles that get in our way, by his mercy, we can become great devotees of Lord Krishna, as he is. So, in some of our temples, even today, this festival of Mahashivratri is celebrated. And of course, it is in some ways to facilitate the visiting Indian community. And we should not have any doubt or worry that now we're becoming pantheists or that we will someday make all the gods one, because if you study your 10 offenses, I think the second offense is quite clear. One cannot put the name of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma on an equal footing, on an equal level with the name of Lord Vishnu, which is an offense. But at the same time, we can offer respect to Lord Shiva as a great Vaishnava. So, I'll stop there. Yes?
Yes, did you say that Lord Brahma would meditate on Lord Shiva?
No, I said that Narad Muni was meditating on Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma's meditating on Lord Vishnu. Did I say Shiva?
No, that's not what I was wanted to clarify. You said something that he's concluded that Shiva can't Narad Muni concluded that Shiva could be there somewhere.
No, I said that Narad Muni comes to Lord Brahma and he's trying to understand who the Supreme is. And at first he thinks it's his father because he's created the whole universe. But then he understands that my father is also meditating on someone, Lord Vishnu. So in the same way, if we look at Lord Shiva, he's sitting in Kailash deep in meditation. Who's he meditating on? Vishnu.
Because you mentioned there that maybe sometimes in the future there may be some Shiva outside the main temple. Would that also include like other Ganesh and different things?
It could include Ganesh. Whoever, Guru Kripa already worshipped Ganesh. All he had to do was bring $100,000 a month. And he worshipped Ganesh for 8 months because he brought $800,000 to Prabhupada, by which Vrindavan temple was built and also a good portion of Bombay temple. So there may be some utility for fundraisers to worship Ganesh. we put the deity of Ganesh when we lay a foundation stone or anything, you know, you dig a deep pit and you put a little silver or golden deity of Ganesh down there. And in fact, in our Bombay temple, when they did the construction initially, they found that 500 years or more ago, there was a temple of Ganesh, right where Radharas Bihari temple is now. Underneath the ground, they found the ruins of an old temple. And there's a whole story there, too. Very interesting story. So, I know Shiva Maharaj is Shiva Ram. He's planning a temple of Lord Shiva in Hungary, I think, in the four corners of the main temple. Mayapur also, Jagannath Puri also, you go. The Lord Shiva there. And Rameshwaram also. Obviously, and all the major temples. In yes.
To honor Lord Shiva, these stations, deities, would they assumably be formed with Lord Shiva, or would it be with the Shiva Linga, or how would it be?
That I don't know. I would think the deity of Lord Shiva, because the lingam of Lord Shiva, to the best of my knowledge, is worshipped with the idea that Lord Shiva is the seed-generating seed of all existence. I don't know. I know they do have deities of Lord Shiva. I believe in King Vrajadam they have a lingam. Just while entering, you know, through the window. So definitely not mine. I haven't built any temple. Vrindavan is not even beautiful. Sri Chaitanya Charitam Pukhi
Jai
Sri Rama Mahanshi Aki
Jai.